The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now it is the Thursday interview, and stepping into the ring is a man who actually we struggled to get the various descriptors of him into the actual brief I have in front of me, because he's had a few jobs, I think it's fair to say, a few different roles. I have you down here, Gavin Duffy, as businessman, entrepreneur, broadcast, something to do with Olympics, and we'll come on to that in a second.
Yeah.
Dragon's Den, presidential candidate. So that's
correct,
just to kick us off. First of all, you're welcome to the studio.
I'm delighted to be here, Emmett. It sounds like I've died and somebody's planning an obituary. But anyway.
I was going to say, what do you call yourself? Like if someone met you who didn't know you, they say, Gavin, what do you do? What would you say? Because you have a few different things going on, right?
And Emmett, if you're somebody like that who's been lucky enough to have such a varied career, it's a question you nearly don't like being asked,
okay,
you know,
yeah.
because...
Yeah, you don't want to be confined,
yeah.
right?
And so I've always been... supposedly entrepreneurial, but you know, a serial investor in businesses. And that's because very early on, I realized I was not good at the day-to-day nuts and bolts of running a business. I was very good at the startup phase, and I was very good at the marketing and getting it out there. And then as soon as the business was up and running, almost as soon as my colleagues started saying to me, you know, this really is going very well, for some reason, I would start looking to another business venture. And I'd appoint somebody to take over my role of CEO and so on. And that's really how it was. And it's funny, I was doing that for a while before I realized, yeah, my skill was more suited to setting up businesses, seeing potential. And that's how years later I ended up on Dragon's Den, because I had been, separate from that before that, yeah, I had been investing, they use a very nice term, a business angel. Like, I know I'm talking to a business chair, so I'll explain that to you. But, you know, and it's that stage before a business really gets up and running
that's
and gets properly...
That's what gets you energised, than the day-to-day slog. Right.
Yeah.
And so you've done so many different things, right? You've been a broadcaster. You've gone into the presidential election. We'll come on to that. You have run a pirate station. You've been an investor. You've made investments. You've also had a communications company, right?
Yes. Still do. Still pays the bills.
You're involved in elder care. So you're involved in what you might call the voluntary NGO type sector,
right? Gosh, did a lot of research.
Look at the here. If you look at the size of this.
there are pages.
Yeah. Leading to my question of which one of those have you enjoyed the most? I know you're going to say they're all special and all that, but which is the one, looking back, you went, those few years, I really, really got a buzz out of that particular period. Not that you didn't get out of the others, but what was your sort of golden period when you got the most buzz?
I'm going to sound like a criminal now when I say this, but if you're very young, and I'm now 64, very young is, you know, 19, 20, 21, 22, to be fortunate enough to be involved in pirate radio, and that pioneering thing of creating a new movement in Ireland, that was just such a
buzz. And what age
were
you then, around, roughly?
At 18, I set up a stage. And before I was 19...
And the guards still haven't come after you after all these decades, breaking the broadcasting law.
Post and Telegraphs, which used to be, that would come after you with the aid of An Garda Síochána. But then I was just, if you're talking about great, then, you know, I happened into RTE and ended up working in the newsroom there. But I had this, you know, I wanted to take pirate radio to its legal proper recognition. And when that was happening in 1989, I went and...
Was that Century and so on?
Yeah. Well, I founded a station called LMFM.
Yeah, which
is Loud Meath Radio, or as some of the early employees used to say, low money for mugs. We worked very hard.
Sure, it's then.
Yeah, we worked very, very hard. And
so radio is still the kind of... That's what's coming across, is that still was a passion?
Yes, well, if you're lucky enough to be in something that's a completely new industry, like some of our tech colleagues, Sean, the guest who was on before me.
Who's in fifth year.
Like, you know, what's that young man going to do in AI, perhaps, fields over the next number of years? That's very exciting. And
I figure he's going to be my boss in about 5 years. But, that's my theory.
But the big excitement in my life at the moment
is horses.
Well, horses have always been in my
life.
Okay. But you know the way sort of you say I've had a lot of various roles. This one I never expected, never wanted. It came out of the blue. But more than a year ago, I got a phone call from Dennis Duggan, a very good friend, a real gentleman. And Dennis, CEO of Horsesport Ireland, was asking me, would I be available to be chair of the high performance jumping advisory
show
group?
Jumping.
Yeah. And the truth was, with my work commitments at the time, it didn't seem right. So I said, would it be okay? Because he was talking about, you know, going into an Olympic year. So I came on board earlier this year, and I'm like a child at Christmas, because to be involved with the magnificent crop of riders we have in Ireland.
Have we got medal prospects? I don't follow show jumping, so I don't know. But
yes, I can tell you the before I talk just about the horses, let's talk about the Olympics in general. In 2 weeks' time, tomorrow 2 weeks, it starts, and this is going to be the best Olympics ever for Ireland. Now, that's not just me saying it. Grace Note, the media data sports analysts, have said Ireland are going to get their biggest medal haul ever. We're going to do very, very well. In equestrian sports, which I've been involved with, we're going to do very, very well. Our eventers, Susie Berry, Effie Clark, Sarah Ennis and Austin O'Connor, they came third in eventing in Aachen at the weekend. Abigail Lyle on Giraldo is going to do very well in dressage, but they're show jumpers.
Oh, the show
jumpers. Oh, the show jumpers. The show jumpers are Daniel Coyle, who is a huge superstar on the show jumping circuit.
You're ahead of the high performance unit, so when you go to the Olympics, you're going, presumably.
Yes.
What do you do, or what's your role over there in that job?
No. I'm just somebody who's helping Michael Blake. We have a soul selector, a genius called Michael Blake. He manages the team. I know in a day that we're confirming our new manager of the Ireland football team. I would say Michael Blake is probably the best, most successful manager of any Ireland team
at
the
moment.
And any
sport,
because he's been on a run. This night last week, we won in Aachen, which is the 1 million euro Mercedes-Benz Nations Cup of Germany. Very few teams.
And sporting contest with the longest name.
Yeah. And Emmett, a month out from when they'll be jumping in the Olympics, that is.
And can I pin you down on medals? Just, I know you're probably saying it's the, you know, the participation that matters and all, but can this show jumping team win a medal?
Okay. They're the number one ranked team in the world currently, and have been for the last year. Of the top 100 FEI ranked riders in the world, 14 of them are from Ireland.
Right.
And we've picked the very best four.
You picked a good time to get involved.
Yes, yeah.
right place, right man, or whatever.
But I'm not. You were overstating any role I would have. Michael Blake, one of the things I do is I make sure I bring with me to any of these international shows a supply of Lucozade and Hunky Dory's. He performs
sugar cubes as well for the horses.
Yeah.
Okay, because we've only got a certain amount of time, and I said, you've got a lot to get through. If this is an interview now, we'd have to hire a separate room and office. The presidential election, a lot of people who watch Dragons then say, oh, here's this Gavin Duffy guy now, he's running for president. You weren't successful, but you had a decent vote, right? You had a decent vote. Would you go again?
No.
Well, that's definitive, 100% no,
that's,
anything.
That's definitive and that's no...
And what would put you off just was too
no,
much?
No, it's not that at all. Strange thing is, I enjoyed the presidential election, have no regrets about it. I didn't get... you know, the presidential election is a bit medieval. You either end up king of the castle or you end up in the
moat. So winner takes all.
Yeah. But like, no, I didn't have any bad experiences.
And would you recommend people to do it? Because a lot of people are considering it at the moment.
Oh, yes, please.
Would you say do it? Look,
I X'd yesterday. I find that word very difficult. I was very
is that
much
a code?
Yeah, no, but I was very much into Twitter when it was Twitter. But I've gone off it. But I did.
A lot of us have. Yeah.
I did just put out a post yesterday thanking Simon Coveney for his years of service after him. Now, not that, but just as I thought he was a good guy, a great politician, and I mentioned a few others. One of the things that's happening is, and the reason I did that post yesterday is I welcome politicians not trying to hang on forever. And I just had a view that though Michael D. Higgins has been a wonderful president now for two terms, and I say that genuinely, particularly through this second term, but I just want to say, I would love to see a younger president, somebody in
now
their...
Don't be ageist.
I also am an ambassador for Age Friendly Ireland.
Oh,
so
well,
I'm
then,
very
you're, then you're insulated.
I believe that politics in general should be younger. That's why I welcome Simon Harris, Roderick O'Gorman. But that's why I'd compliment...
Seem to be a changing of the guard.
Yeah, Leo Varadkar retiring and moving out to
now,
let young blood
in. Can I ask another
in.
Question? Dragon's Den, which a lot of people enjoyed, they're still, the British one is still going.
Yeah.
Deborah Meaden
and
all these
people.
I loved
it. I loved it.
Where is Dragon's... Like, we've got two or three different TV stations. We've got a YouTube. We've got lots of online options. Why is nobody doing Dragon's Den anymore in Ireland? Or do you know? Or did you it and that was it? Or
Yes, I did it and I did every one of them and loved it. And it was just so enjoyable and loved by people.
I'm trying to hint a news talk here, you see, Dragon's
Den.
Oh, I
see.
You know, this is a pitch hidden.
Emmett, it's a funny thing. No matter how successful a programme is, you're very successful if you get a 10-year run in RTE, the way the budget works, because there's always something in the independent sector that's new and it's different. Whereas if you're on the BBC, they've or ITV, they've the money to keep running the really successful shows. So Dragon's Den, you're right, and The Apprentice are still running to huge ratings. Dragon's Den had, in its last year, had higher ratings than The Late Late Show currently has this year. What was marvellous about it is it's not an expensive show to produce. And it
four
was
people
enjoyable.
Sitting in a seat, some guests.
But like, talk about, you know, when you get the right format, talk about the jeopardy that was in that show for the people pitching. And
so there was you, Sean Gallagher, Sarah Newman. Who else did we have? I'm trying to remember it back because you had
Peter Casey.
Did you have another one or two people who came in and out?
The seats changed.
And you've all done very well at it. Well, I mean, I'm not saying that in a snide way. What I mean is it was a booster for you all afterwards. You know, Dragon's Den, Gavin Duffy joined. You know, so you all...
Yeah, but it was a weekend primetime show, you know. So, and you know, it was on a Sunday night outdrawing X Factor, which was very big back there, back then, should I say. It was, and I just loved getting involved with the entrepreneurs who came in and pitched. And I was just so lucky, you know, a few successful ones in there, Tan Organic, Hen Party. You know,
I know you can still see those companies out there that would have gone through the system.
To be involved with them at such an early embryonic stage, it was the most wonderful experience. And I have to say, I learned an awful lot from it as well.
As a viewer, I liked the show. I now watch the British one because I've no choice because there isn't an Irish one to watch, which is unfortunate. But the British one is great crack. I mean, it's a good watch. You know, there's some really good judges there. But look, maybe one of the independent production companies that, you know, RTE in particular are looking at the moment might bring it back. So you never know, you might get the call yet. Gavin, unfortunately, out of time, I had to squeeze a lot in, you have to admit, between horses and pirate radio. If the guards want to get in contact with him before he leaves the studio, this is their last chance before you go down in the elevator.
I have a very good reputation with Ungarisha Colony. Yes, admittedly, for a few years there in 1979. That's how long ago
that was.
The fine
is still alive, as they say.
I was outside the law.
Thank you very much, Gavin Duffy, for joining us on our Thursday interview. Really appreciate it. Coming into the studio. Thank you very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.